Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Well, Barack wimped out, so Olmert still reigns, and Israel still withers. Hi, everyone. I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And the parsha this week is Truma. We learned the civil legislation last week, so this week we moved to build the Mishkan, which was to house the Ten Commandments, or Aseros Adibros, and to be a focal point for Hashem to reveal himself to Moses and to the Bnei Yisrael. The people bring 15 types of materials, gold, silver, copper, blue, purple, and red dye, wool, flax, and goat hair, animal skins, wood, olive oil, spices, and gems. Because God said, make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them. God gave Moses detailed instructions on how to build this sanctuary, or Mishkan, since it had to be portable to move about the desert. Two winged cherubim, you know, these are the little guys that stood above the ark that used to face each other when everything was good and turned away when everything was kind of rough. They were placed above the ark holding the Aseros Adibros and were behind the parochus, or curtain. And outside the parochus were the menorah and the showbread that smelled fresh from week to week. And the rest of the structure was built to exact specifications given to Moses by God. These contained many sockets, linen, acacia wood, and other building materials. And speaking of building, our staff is built up and ready to bring quality Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLynn, reporting from Israel. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Special guest today is Arya Sherman, who is the Executive Director of the Jewish Family and Children's Services in Pittsburgh, PA. His organization fulfills a very special mission, urgently needed in Pittsburgh, and is a privately funded group. This is a good example of what can be accomplished in a community when private citizens take care of their own without undue government interference. Now, of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in a half hour. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at jewishexperienceradio.com. And don't forget to sponsor part of your program, or to honor a simcha, or remember a yahrzeit. Your help keeps the JE on the air for you. And as always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burt and Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. And don't forget, candlelighting time tonight is 5:28 p.m.
Give up, give up.
Now, with an insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In this week's Parsha, Parshas Terumo, the Torah says, take a donation for me. The obvious question is, why didn't Hashem command to give a donation? Why does it say, take a donation? When one gives a poor person a gift, he is really not giving, but taking. What the donor gives the beggar is limited and temporary, and is eventually vanishing. The reward for giving the charity, however, is infinite and unlimited. It is something spiritual that endures forever in the future world. Moreover, when the person gives the charity for the sake of heaven, an angel is created through the merit of the act. If this is true of a donation to a mere person, how much more is it true of a donation for the building of the Mishkan? In making such a donation, one truly receives more than he gives. The Talmud also relates that Binyamin HaTzadik was in charge of the charity fund. Once during a time of famine, a woman came to him and asked for money. He told her, I swear to you that there is absolutely no money left in the charity fund. But if you don't give me something, I and my 7 children will die of hunger, replied the woman. Hearing this, he gave her money out of his own pocket. A short while after this, he became very sick and was close to death. The angels complained to Hashem, you have taught that whoever sustains a single life is considered as if he sustained the entire world. Shall this man who saved the lives of a woman and her 7 children now die? The Gemara relates that the decree of death was immediately reversed, and he was allowed to live an additional 22 years.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. 521-2600.
Bye.
For a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Immigration to America, Part 5. A fourth reason Orthodoxy was at such a great disadvantage in the United States was the pressure to Americanize. All immigrants, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, faced great pressure to enter the melting pot and become full-fledged Americans. This message was constantly hammered home, especially to impressionable young children in the public schools. Fathers and mothers no longer dreamed of seeing their children become Torah scholars, for that was considered un-American. Consequently, Jewish parents especially aspired that their children get a good secular education in order to become doctors, lawyers, and other professionals. Fifth, the pressures of earning a living. American society extolled making money as the supreme virtue to which one should aspire. A guidebook for immigrant Jews gave this advice. Hold fast. This is most necessary in America. Forget your past, your customs, and your ideals. Select a goal and pursue it with all your might. No matter what happens to you, hold on. You will experience a bad time, but sooner or later you will achieve your goal. A bit of advice for you. Do not take a moment's rest. Run, do work, and keep your own good in mind. As the historian Lucy Davidowitz points out, the freedom to make money became an obsession for some. It was an end in itself. It began with a good purpose to raise the children decently, to keep them out of the sweatshops if possible, and to lay aside funds for their education and for old age. But in the process of scrambling for money, family life was neglected, community was disregarded, and tradition was abandoned. Sixth, working on the Sabbath. This was the worst of all the spiritual tests the Jews coming to America had to face, and it caused wholesale defections from Torah observance. It was extremely difficult to find a job that did not entail working on the Sabbath. When an employee left for Friday, he was told, "If you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Monday." Fired workers were put on a blacklist, so that finding a new job was next to impossible. Seeing their family starving and freezing broke the spirits of many Jews, and they succumbed to this most difficult of ordeals. At first they worked on the Sabbath with great reluctance, but as time wore on they became accustomed to the state of affairs, in accordance with the Talmudic statement that a sin repeated becomes permissible in the perpetrator's eyes. As Sabbath observance is one of the major tenets of Judaism and the foundation of family life, its violation opened a proverbial Pandora's box. Abandonment of other mitzvos rapidly followed, and the next generation, growing up without a remembrance of observant life, drifted farther away from Judaism. As American Jewry's connection to Torah Judaism became more and more tenuous, the intermarriage rate skyrocketed from nearly zero in the immigrant generation to more than 60% today.
Now, from the Israel National Radio newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Hamas terrorists have confiscated 14 trucks full of food and medicine in Gaza. The Red Crescent had planned to distribute the supplies to 8,000 needy families. Hamas spokesman claimed that the aid was going to be distributed to former Fatah leaders and not to other needy Gaza Arabs. The Red Crescent workers accompanying the supply trucks were arrested. The Army has disclosed the seizing of an Israeli truck containing more than 800 kilograms or 1,700 pounds of potassium nitrate at a checkpoint south of Qalqilya in mid-January in a joint operation of the Army, the police, and the Civil Administration for Judea and Samaria. The chemical is banned by the Army in the PLO-assigned areas as it may be used to produce explosives. PLO officials quoted by the Yediot Ahronot Daily's Ynet news service say that they have prevented two major terrorist attacks in Israeli cities. In one case, the PLO forces found a car full of explosives belonging to Islamic Jihad terrorists that was to be detonated in an Israeli city, and in the second case, the forces had arrested a Fatah terrorist who planned to carry out a suicide bombing. The sources would not give further details of the planned attacks, but said the details had been passed on to Israeli security officials. The PLO says it has arrested suspects and is investigating the incidents. Islamic Jihad spokesman denying the report, quoting now, "No car of ours was confiscated in Ramallah. The PA is apparently trying to win favor in Israel's eyes." A senior Hamas terrorist has been quoted in the Quds Faras newspaper as agreeing with Israel that the big fence in Judea and Samaria is one of the reasons that Hamas has not carried out a suicide bombing in an Israeli city in more than 3 years. The group responsible for a bombing in August of 2004, it did not carry out a suicide bombing attack within pre-1967 Israel until this week's attack in Dimona. Terrorist advisor Yusuf Rizka says other factors leading to the lack of bombing attacks were the group's struggles with other local terrorist groups, including Fatah, and the international community's disapproval of attacks on innocent civilians. Security officials in Mauritania say that at least 7 Al-Qaeda operatives have been arrested in connection to the shooting attack against the Israeli embassy in Nouakchott last Friday. The sources say that one of the suspects is of Algerian origin. Army Chief of Staff Gabi Ashkenazi has responded for the first time to the final report of the Vinograd Commission on the Second Lebanon War. Speaking at the graduation ceremony of the Army's Command and Staff College, the Lieutenant General said the IDF learned the lessons of the war before the Vinograd report was published and will continue to work to apply those lessons. The IDF is a strong army. It does not need restoration. Repair, yes. Restoration, no. Continuing to quote, the IDF sees the report as a chance and a tool to thoroughly improve and treat the issues it brought up. The United States may decide not to attend next year's follow-up to the United Nations 2001 World Conference on Racism because the panel seems certain to repeat anti-Semitic and anti-Israel positions of the original gathering. Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota says the decision comes in response to a letter he and 26 fellow senators wrote to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, which called the conference, in the words of the letter, yet another example of a seemingly noble UN agenda item being hijacked by member states to spew anti-Semitism. According to Channel 2 Television, Jewish activists in the United States and Israel have offered a large cash prize to anyone willing to offer information leading to the resignation of Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. The station publishing a transcription that allegedly details a conversation between a private businessman and a private investigator hired by activists. In the transcribed conversation, the investigator asks the businessman if he has any evidence that could incriminate Olmert in wrongdoing and explains that there is a jackpot involved. The investigator says that if the businessman can prove that Olmert was involved in illegal activities such as taking a bribe, he could get $1 million. Israeli government investigators involved in a number of probes of the prime minister have yet to find enough evidence to convict and have not pressed for indictments. Ethics and responsibility in Israeli politics. In the wake of the Vinograd Report, one of the topics of the Jerusalem Conference, co-sponsored by Israel National News, February 19th and 20th. It's better the second of Adar Aleph on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, partly cloudy and slightly cooler with rain in the north and along the Mediterranean coast on Friday, snow on Mount Hermon, fair and slightly warmer on Shabbat, partly cloudy with no change in temperature on Sunday and Monday. In Jerusalem Friday, a high temperature of 14 degrees centigrade, 59 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 20 degrees centigrade, 68 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea in Haifa, 18 degrees centigrade, 64 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights, 15 degrees centigrade, 59 Fahrenheit. Beer Sheva and Tel Aviv, 17 degrees centigrade, 63 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather. And now, for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
A low-pressure system will move through our region on Shabbos, bringing a wintry mix of snow and rain, followed by much colder temperatures and snow showers on Sunday. The forecast for Pittsburgh and vicinity. Friday night, mostly cloudy, with a period of light snow, sleet, and rain. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. On Shabbos, cloudy and cool, with rain and snow showers through the day. High temperatures 40 to 45 degrees. Saturday night, colder with snow showers. A light accumulation of snow is possible. Please drive safely if out driving. Sunday and Sunday night, scattered snow showers, windy and colder. High in the 20s and low in the teens. This has been meteorologist Glenn Foxen, wishing everyone good weather and great times this Shabbos.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Mazel tov, mazel tov. There's a couple of mazel tovs this week, but even another mazel tov. My daughter, Liba DeLynn, delivering the mazel tovs. Liba?
Thank you, Tati. The mazel tov this week is Rabbi Yisrael and Debbie Miller on their daughter Leah's engagement to Pinchas Penny Rusa Brooklyn. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Ovid and Madi Marlin and Akon on their special anniversary. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Marlin and Akon having completed all the requirements for a doctorate in audiology. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Tova Weinberg in the article about her published in the World Jewish Digest. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Norman Gladys Tabachnik on the birth of their great-granddaughter in Israel. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Dean and Chaya Polak on the birth of a grandson in New York. Mazel tov, mazel tov.
And that's the mazel tov. Thank you, Liba.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Now let's take a look at the events around the community. The full-service Jewish day camp is right around the corner. Hot lunches and two daily snacks included. 6 weeks, June 25th through August 5th. 7-hour day camp, 9 to 4, 3 divisions, mini camp, primary camp, kids entering 1 to 6. The famed Pioneer Camp, campers in, entering grades 7 to 8, great staff trips, daily excitement. Fully loaded website, cgipittsburgh.com. Early bird discount through February 13th. CGI Pittsburgh. For the summer of a lifetime, call Rabbi Shmuley Rothman, camp director at 412-715-4883 for more information. A lot of energy in that camp. Are You My Mother? Jewish Perspectives on Conception and Pregnancy with Rabbi Levi Langer, Sunday, February 17th at 7:30 p.m. at Congregation Polizetic, corner of Phillips and Shady. A tribute to the memory of Mr. Ed Lewis, founder and former CEO of Oxford Development, will take place at the 64th Annual Dinner of Yeshiva Schools, Tuesday, March 4th, 2008, at the Hilton Hotel. Call Mindy for more information, 412-422-7300. Doctors Tova and Joel Weinberg will be honored at the Kollel Annual Malava Malka Dinner, March 1st, at 8:45 p.m. Call 412-420-0220 for information and tickets. ZOA Pittsburgh, in partnership with the United Jewish Federation and the Shaliach's Office, presents Did Herzl Really Say That? Conversation in Israel, a new series of films straight from Israel. Call Deborah at the ZOA for more details, 412-665-4630. Also, ZOA Pittsburgh presents Eye on Israel, a 6-part course designed to help you think analytically and develop a critical eye regarding what you read, see, and hear about Israel in the media. Again, call Deborah at the newly invigorated and energized ZOA, 412-665-4630. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Pittsburgh Kollel, 5808 Beacon Street, every Sunday evening from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on a program, you know what to do. Call us at 412-979-5770 or drop us an email, jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 5:28 p.m. Stay tuned. Jewish Family and Children's Services Director Ari Sherman right after this. Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. We're very pleased today to have with us Aria Sherman, who is the Executive Director of the Jewish Family and Children's Services of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He has been the Executive Director here for, I think, since 1999 and has 37 years in the social services, Jewish social services business with 12 in Israel. Aria, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're with us this afternoon. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. The Jewish Family and Children's Services has been an agency in Pittsburgh for quite some time and provides a very critical, very urgent role in the Jewish community in Pittsburgh. So give us an idea before we get started just how the agency itself got started and how, you know, these myriad of programs which you provide, how do you decide what programs are needed and do you add programs over time?
Well, actually, JFNCS, Jewish Family and Children's Services, is in its 70th year now. This year is actually our 70th anniversary. 70 years ago, three or four smaller organizations merged together in order to create one organization, which was now called Jewish Family and Children's Service. And basically, our primary work in those early days was around really two areas. One was the resettlement of Jewish refugees from Europe connected to the war, and two was working with children who were in foster care or in a children's home at that time. There was a Jewish children's home at that time. Those were the basic services. And over the years, we've grown and changed as the Jewish community of Pittsburgh has grown and changed. And now we provide a wide range of different services, which I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about a little bit.
Sure. And I'm looking at this list. It's quite extensive. You got adoption, college funding, career services, counseling, critical needs, guardianship. I mean, it's probably too much to go into at one time here. Other adult services, refugees you mentioned, and special needs, and, of course, the Squirrel Hill Food Pantry, which is probably well known. So this list obviously is what just grown in response to what communities have requested of you?
Well, there's several ways in which we grow. One way is we do a systematic research and investigation, surveys, question people, focus groups, and we kind of identify problems in the community that we think we have the ability to address.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is people come to us and they ask us for help. Like two areas I can think of in that area is, for example, domestic violence in the Jewish community is one area. Another area is special needs services to families with children who have kids with special needs. We really were just approached by the community, and they said, knowing that we have a lot of experience in mental health-related issues, could we do this? Another example would be, and this it goes back a little bit before when I started here, but when the steel industry began to decline in southwestern Pennsylvania, the Jewish community, basically through the Federation, found that a lot of the Jewish community that provided support to others in the community now needed support themselves because they were losing their jobs, their businesses were closing down because the steel industry that kind of was the backbone of everything was collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that there was a need to help Jewish people in the community find jobs.
Wow.
And that's how the Career Development
Services
Center started. And we've been going on in that path ever since, working in the Jewish community and in the general community.
Wow. So you have a full-service adoption agency there?
We actually do have a full-service adoption foster care agency. Most of the foster care work we do is for families who intend to adopt a child, and over the years, the regulations around adoption have become more and more complex,
sure.
So there's lots of related tasks to adoption that we do. There's things like to help prepare a family for adoption, we do actually a full training program. Besides individual sessions, we actually have group workshops where we discuss all the issues related to adoptions, pros and cons, and
sure.
how best to go about that, and help families, because there's a variety of different options, international adoption,
sure.
through state agencies, through private means. So
you're actually working with these other agencies as well, right, together with the other adoption agencies, I mean, as far as the support services for them.
Right. Well, everything we do, we work in collaboration with other organizations because as much as we do in the community, there's always things that we don't do, and there's things that other people do and have specialized in, and we need to collaborate
sure.
with them. So we try to do that as much as possible.
So the counseling services that you have, just for a brief minute, are you, I assume you have psychologists on staff. Do you compete with the other psychologists? I mean, what is your counseling different than, let's say, somebody who needs the counseling services of a psychologist?
Well, one thing is we're very proud about our psychological services that we offer, and there's some unique features to it. One is that we are actually licensed by the state of Pennsylvania to provide counseling, actually mental health services, outpatient psychiatric is the official name of the title.
Okay.
So we're licensed, so they come and they do an annual in-depth audit of all of our work to make sure that it's compliant with the best standards in the field.
Sure.
We're also accredited by a national organization called the Council on Accreditation, which every 4 years we do a very exhaustive accreditation review where we have peer reviewers come out here and examine all of our policies and procedures. Of course, confidentiality is kept, you know, but in terms of just our policies and procedures and how we keep documents. So we're very highly monitored in terms of the quality of the services that we provide. It's kind of like a stamp of approval, a good housekeeping stamp. Right. And in addition to that, what makes us really unique is the range of services that we offer, both within our psychological counseling program and also many times when people come to us with a psychological problem or a family conflict issue, it's related to other things in their life, and we can help them with those things. Like, for example, unemployment obviously causes a lot of stress and grief in a family, and we can help with that issue as well.
So do you refer to other psychologists as well if you need to?
We do. If there's a specialty that we feel that we don't have someone on staff that can handle, then we will refer to another psychologist. We have a psychiatrist on staff, actually, who reviews also with us. And that's another difference between us and a private practice, that we actually have a psychiatrist who reviews all of our work in addition to all those other groups.
Very nice.
But we do prescribe medication. So if someone needs medication, they would need to be referred to another group.
All right, very good. So now talk about your guardianship. What do you do in that area?
Okay, that's fairly unique program in that we have a contract with the Allegheny County Department of Human Services, and what we do is for individuals who, due to either a mental health or mental retardation problem, are not capable of making life decisions for themselves or managing their own finances, the family court can determine with a psychiatric evaluation and a whole investigation that this person is not competent to make decisions. And then they appoint JF and CS to be the guardian of that person to act as if like their parents to make their decisions for them because they have been determined not competent. And that's typically either somebody with a mental health problem or a mental retardation who has no family who's capable of making decision or who is not in this area or who doesn't want to make those kind of decisions. And then the other type of people would be elderly people who have Alzheimer or other dementia and whose family have passed on and they have no one to protect their interests. So we really represent these people, the best interests of people who cannot make their own decisions.
Okay, very good. So now you also mentioned that you had refugee resettlement assistance and I assume primarily Russian, but maybe as well as others. Is this in combination with the Jewish Federation have a program to do that as well?
I don't know exactly which program you're referring to. We actually do all the refugee work for the Jewish Federation.
Okay, you are the one that does it. Okay.
Right. Right now, there are very few Jewish refugees coming through.
Okay.
From Russia, it's mostly family reunification. So the families directly have to sponsor their own family members to bring them over here since, you know, the fall of the Soviet Union. But we work with many of the, especially the elderly refugees who were not able to find gainful employment because of their age or people with disabilities who came here from the former Soviet Union. We continue to work with them on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
In fact, many of those people are clients of ours at the food pantry as well. But we do have refugees now coming from, actually, of all places, Burmese refugees who have been in refugee camps in Thailand for many years.
Wow.
We actually have over 100 of these folks now.
These are Jewish?
No, these people are not Jewish. And one thing I should say about Jewish Family and Children's Services, we provide services to all people without regard of their religion or their race or their ethnic background.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so let's talk, as before we run out of time, a couple of things. Number one, the Squirrel Hill Food Pantry, which has been a very popularly discussed item in Squirrel Hill, and I assume that's also without regard to whether they're Jewish or not, but tell us in about a minute or so just a little bit about the food pantry and what its objective is.
Okay, what's special about our food pantry is that it's a kosher food pantry.
Uh-huh.
It's even under the mashgiach of the Vod.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that anybody who is kosher has kosher food and feels comfortable to come there and get the food if they need it.
Right.
We serve over 500 people a year now there. So it's one of the biggest, believe it or not, one of the biggest, it is the biggest food pantry in Allegheny County.
Mm.
We're also one of the few food pantries that is open on a daily basis. So that makes it very special. And we have, in the course of the year, we have almost 600 volunteers that help us with various aspects of the food pantry.
Right.
So that also makes it a very special, program. But basically, we will serve any person in zip code 15217 who is low income, and we do a eligibility test to determine that, or any Jewish person anywhere in the region who wants kosher food,
right,
and
mm-hmm.
has no other place to get it and can't afford to buy food. So we look for them as well.
Very nice. Now, your funding for this agency, I assume do your clients pay? Is there other funding? How do you maintain your organization and keep it running?
Right. Well, actually, we have over 30 different funding sources for
uh-huh.
the organization, but in a nutshell, about 20% of our funding comes from the United Jewish Federation.
Okay.
About another 20% comes from government, and that's local, state, and federal, and that's one of the reasons why we need to be our services available
mm-hmm.
to anybody.
Okay.
Then 20% comes from fees for service, and that includes co-pays and insurance payments.
Okay.
Then we get another 20% from foundations.
Okay.
And then we get from the United Way 10%, and then another 10% from donations.
Very nice. Okay. Well, that's a great thing, and I think it's just a great thing that you're saying that effectively 80% of your funding comes from private sources, which I think is admirable, and
right.
I think it's great to know. So we are out of time, and I just want to thank you for being with us and describing your myriad of services, but there's a lot more, obviously, to tell. How do people find out more about the Jewish Family and Children's Services?
Okay, two ways. One, they can call 412-422-7200. Or second way is to look at our website, which really is very comprehensive, and it's www.jfcspgh.org.
You want to repeat that? That's a little tough.
Okay, www.jfcspgh.org.
Very good. Ari Sherman, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon on the Jewish Experience Radio Program. He's the Executive Director of the Jewish Family and Children's Services. Their main mission, to maintain and strengthen family life, and they're doing a heck of a job with a number of amazing programs. Ari, thank you very much for being with us. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you, and good Shabbos.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Now for a look at the feminine side of things, reporting from Israel, here's Ms. Devorah Delin.
Prevention. It's something we spend a majority of our lives trying to master successfully. We need good food to prevent sickness, we educate ourselves to prevent hunger and poverty, and unfortunately, we often create all sorts of problems by trying to prevent the problem. Oftentimes, the prevention is harder than the actual problem. Going out and getting a shot takes more effort than just naturally falling ill. But in the end, it's often prevention that saves a person. In this week's Torah portion, Parshas Truma, we learn about the types of contributions that are allowed to be given to the Mishkan and later on in the temple. Although Rashi says that there are 13 different types of things, most other Midrashim hold that there are actually 15 item categories. As with everything in the Torah, the number 15 is far from coincidental. As our sages tell us, the world was created through the divine name of Yud-Heh, of which the numerical value is 15. In the Mishkan itself, there were 15 steps from the men's section to the women's courtyard. and the builder of the temple, King Solomon, was of the 15th generation from Abraham Avinu. The verse tells us that gold, silver, and copper were the only three metals used in the Mishkan. Iron and other warlike metals were not used, for it is unfitting to use martial materials in a place of peace. The Kriyakar says that each metal corresponds to a different nation that tried and for a time succeeded in exiling the Jews. Gold refers to the kingdom of Babel, about whom the prophet Daniel calls heads of gold. Silver refers to Madai, the nation of Persia of the Purim story, in which Haman buys the fate of the Jews with 10,000 measurements of silver. Copper, the least of the metals, refers to the nation of Greece, Yavan, who was the least of our tormentors. In addition, the verse makes mention of red leather from a ram, which parallels the kingdom of Edom, the progeny of Esau the Red. In the process of seeing all these intimidating kingdoms and the horrendous history of the Jewish people, our discouragement is alleviated in the following pasuk by the category. By the next category, the Shemen HaMeor, the oil that was used for light, which refers to salvation. Every time one of these nations tries to come against us, they may succeed temporarily, but in the end, they are always ousted, because we have a Shem on our side. The commentators bring out another intriguing point. They say that not only do the four materials above merely parallel the four kingdoms, they are actually the prevention and eventual antidote of the kingdom's rule. Hashem, who of course knows the future, granted us the remedy before the malady. Through our giving of the Truma offering, we are, in a sense, providing ourselves with a counteraction, with the vaccine, against the effects of the other nations. This premise encompasses the other mitzvahs as well. For example, when you carry out the laws of Tzniyus and wear clothes designated as modest through the laws of Torah, you are not only preventing yourself from harmful things that may occur due to immodest clothing, you are actually creating the antidote that keeps the Jewish people strong, alive, and continuing. Have a good Shabbat.
it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Talmud relates, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rav Shalom, said, just as a person's sustenance for the coming year is apt proportion for him from Rosh Hashanah, so too a person's losses for the coming year are set for him from Rosh Hashanah. If one merits good fortune, he will give the amount he must lose to the poor. In compliance with a verse, you will give your bread for the hungry. But if he did not merit good fortune, the government will confiscate the amount he is supposed to lose, in fulfillment of the end of the verse. An illustration of this concept is found in the case of the nephews of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Once, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw in a dream, on the night following Yom Kippur, that his nephews were required to lose 700 dinars during the coming year. Therefore, over the course of the year, Rabbi Yochanan would prevail on them to donate money to charity. Eventually, he took from them most of the 700 dinars for charity. However, by the end of the year, 17 of the original 700 remained in their possession. When the eve of Yom Kippur arrived, the Roman government dispatched officers who confiscated 17 dinars from Rav Yochanan's nephews. The nephews were frightened that the officers would return to take even more. So Rabbi Yochanan therefore reassured them, "Do not be afraid of losing more money. They took from you the last 17 dinars you were destined to lose. Hence no more will be taken." The puzzled nephews asked Rabbi Yochanan, "From where did you know that precisely 17 dinars were taken?" Rabbi Yochanan then revealed to his nephews that at the beginning of the year he had seen a dream which foretold that they would lose 700 dinars that year, and he calculated how much remained to be lost. Realizing now why Rabbi Yochanan had been urging them to give so much charity throughout the year, the nephews told their uncle, "Why didn't you inform us that we were required to lose 700 dinars this year, so that we would have given the entire amount to charity?" Rabbi Yochanan replied, "I said to myself, it's better not to inform you, so that you would perform the mitzvah of tzedakah for its own sake. If you had known that you were destined to lose a certain sum of money anyway, your intent in giving would be simply to avoid its confiscation, and not to benefit the poor or to do the will of Hashem." This incident teaches us an important lesson. Although the amount of charity given by the nephews was less than they were destined to lose, Rabbi Yochanan felt it was better for them to give a smaller amount with the proper intent than to give the larger amount with an ulterior motive. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up another exciting edition of the Jewish Experience radio program, a couple of reminders. The Jewish Day Camp CGI Pittsburgh for the Summer of a Lifetime is now getting applications and getting started. Call Rabbi Shmuley Rothman, Camp Director, at 412-715-4883. And Jewish Perspectives on Conception and Pregnancy with Rabbi Levi Langer, Sunday, February 17th at 7:30 p.m. at Congregation Poli Zedek. Tribute to the memory of Mr. Ed Lewis, 64th Annual Dinner, Yeshiva Schools. Call Mindy for more information, 412-422-7300. And Drs. Joel and Tova Weinberg, honored at the Kotel Annual Malava Manka Dinner, March 1st. Call 412-420-0220, ZOA Pittsburgh in partnership with the UJF and the Shliach's office. Presents a new series of films straight from Israel. Call 412-665-4630 for more information on that. And Eye on Israel, a six-part course designed to help you think analytically on Israel. Call Deborah at the ZOA, 412-665-4630. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous meets at the Pittsburgh Colo. Every Sunday evening, 7:30 to 9, Kol Ilan at 412-422-2224. And don't forget, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net, and we'll get it on for you. And we certainly want to thank Arya Sherman, director of the Pittsburgh Jewish Family and Children's Services, for sharing with us an unbelievable myriad of important services they provide. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoist.com, Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, reporting from Israel. And, of course, our thanks to Leba DeLynn for delivering the Mazel Tovs today, and also Pearlie DeLynn for selecting our music that you enjoyed this afternoon. And finally, and certainly not last and not least, our engineer, Jeremy LeBostenstein, for another outstanding show. Now we got candlelighting time, 5:28 p.m. It's been a ton of fun. I do have to run. Don't forget, Jewish Radio is here for you. Will you be here for Jewish Radio? Donate today at jewishexperience@verizon.net. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see you all next week on or before on the web at jewishexperienceradio.com anytime. And, of course, back here Friday, same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel. Take care. Have a great Shabbos. Baruch Hu Shabbat.